Hey everybody, welcome to the second ever episode of WPC Plus. Not still sure what the plus stands for, just because plus, like, extra good. This is the Weighted Pod created. I am Pierre Camus. With me is Nicholas Gout. Did I say that right? Gout.
Rhymes with caught. Got. Everyone mispronounces it. Don't feel bad.
Good. And that's why we make a good deal, because I think it's probably more often that I've heard my name mispronounced in my life than pronounced correctly or spelled correctly. So I'm a big fan of Starbucks because, you know, it just goes with the territory. But anyways, we're here to talk fantasy baseball and draft strategy. That's right. It's draft season, like it or not. It's never too early to talk strategy because you're going to be locking it up, right? You're going to be doing some of these maybe high stakes drafts that have already started, the NFBC. Maybe you're digging into some best ball, whatever it may be. You need to have a plan, right? You've got to have a plan. Otherwise, you're just throwing your money in the trash. Nick, let's start with some starting pitcher talk, because it's always interesting point of topic. When do you take your first starting pitcher? Because there's one train of thought that has been kind of a long standard that you don't go too early on your starting pitcher because it's just too risky, right? You want to start with offense. But I've seen more and more trend lately where people say you've got to load up on aces because there's just so few of them, right? That workhorse, that starting pitcher, the whole thing with the opener now. It's like, grab that ace before somebody else does. So first of all, just give me your general thought on that. Are you on board with that? Like, you have to try to grab an ace early?
I don't think you have to. For me, a lot of it's going to depend on just my particular draft position in that draft. If I am picking towards the back end of the first round, I'm much more likely to grab, one of my top three guys that I have, quite a bit ahead of the next tier. Earlier than that, I'm usually going to go safer, going to take the bat. With this year, you can take Cole again. It would have been worth it last year taking him early, but the move to the Yankees, the move to the AL East, I'm not going to assume the same production. Verlander, love him this year again, but he is another year older. He's not someone I'm going to want to take in the first, seven, eight picks, but someone I would definitely want to take in, towards the back end of a 12-team draft, a 10, 11, 12.
All right, so let me put you on the spot right away now that we're 2 minutes in. At what spot would you be the earliest you feel comfortable taking your first starting pitcher? You talk about the back end. Let's assume you're in a 12-team league, right? It's kind of typical. Number 10, 11, or you wait until the turn? I mean, what would be the earliest that you would really feel comfortable pulling the trigger in reality?
9 at the highest. More realistically, 10, and even then, I'm a little hesitant. I really like the first ace right around the turn. Further you get away from the turn, the more conservative I'm going to get. So yeah, 10 or right around 10, I think.
All right. And then what do you think of this philosophy? Because we saw this in a recent draft that we did at Industry Mock, and I'll show you some results in a minute here. How do you feel about doubling up if you're at the turn, going with two pitchers back to back in the first two rounds? Because, I mean, it could give you a big advantage. I mean, if you're getting guys like, DeGrom and Scherzer, obviously that gives you an edge in that, strikeouts, possibly wins, ERA, all that. But are you sacrificing too much offense that early?
For me, no. I have just happened to, a lot of the mocks I've done this year already, I've ended up picking towards the back end, and I've went with double A's quite a bit. With the tier that we have of, I have Cole, Verlander, and DeGrom in a little tier by themselves. And if I'm picking around the turn, 11, 12, and I can get two of those three guys, which is pretty realistic. Cole is going to go off the board usually in that 8 to 10 at the latest. But then you're going to have Verlander or DeGrom. And if I can get both of them, I'm going to be very tempted. That is a lot of firepower you're banking away, a lot of great ratios over 400 innings. And that is a significant advantage. And I can go hitters for the next few rounds. And just as far as I have pitchers grouped, there's, Paul Spohr has made the term more famous, but there's a large glob of pitchers again. that I feel comfortable taking in the fifth, sixth round, you know, to be my third pitcher. And one of those guys plus two out of Cole, Verlander, DeGrom, you know, Scherzer, if I believe his health, that I'm pretty comfortable setting myself up that way.
Okay, well, I was about to ask about Scherzer because you mentioned that top tier and I heard three names. I didn't hear Scherzer. I mean, does he still fit in that? Because, I mean, he was pretty much the top pitcher off the board last year. Thought he was a sure thing. Started off slow, but then, you know, kind of picked it up again. Do you have him kind of solid number four there? Is he still in that top tier? Is he a first-round pick?
For me, no. He's my number four pitcher. But I have him, I think, I have him at 18, and I have Verlander at 11 as my number three guy. So I have quite a big gap. And it's if I can believe he's going to be healthy all year, he would be, I don't know, probably my number two guy, number two, number three. But, you know, say it a million times, the greatest predictor of future injury is past injuries. And multiple injuries last year, he's another year older. I'm just not going to bank that 200 innings that I want to if I'm going to make him a first-round pick.
And to some extent, you know, when a guy does get older, you kind of have to wonder if having that long postseason run, right, the extra innings might affect. Of course, you could say the same about Cole and Verlander. Cole not as old, but with Verlander, it's interesting. We don't have the injury concerns it was seen with Verlander, even despite the age. But, yeah, Scherzer kind of worried some people last year. Looks like he's okay right now, but again, there's always that risk. And talk to me real quick before we dive into some examples here. What about Chris Sale? We know the risk there. Obviously, there's huge risk. How early, just him by himself, do you feel if you wait, let's say, forsake those top four, you know, you don't want to pick a pitcher in those top couple of rounds, how early would you feel comfortable, or do you just not feel comfortable at all having Chris Sale as your SP1?
There's very little chance I end up with any shares of Sale this year. It's just, there's the, you know, the basement with every pitcher is, you know, the lowest basement, they blow out their arm. But given what Sale went through last year, struggles on the mound, a lot of injuries, concerns, the dreaded, we'll see Dr. James Andrews, but don't worry, no Tommy John, we're going to work through this. Totally could work. Tanaka's been doing it for what, 5 years now. And all the people that get Chris Sale in the third, fourth round, if he has a fully healthy year, they are going to laugh their way to the bank because they'll get tons of profit off that pick. I'm just probably not going to be one of them. If he's still there in the fourth round, late fourth round, past that, I'll have to start thinking about it just for value wise. But there's about 10 other pitchers in the top 50 around that I'll feel much more comfortable taking over the risk of Sale and his health.
Makes sense. And, you know, when you say first couple of rounds, it's not where you want to take on that kind of risk. So it doesn't make sense when you can get a guy who maybe has just as much upside without that risk. So generally, I'm kind of in that same camp. I agree with you. There's no point, you know, worrying about it all year. I was burned by Chris Sale last year personally in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. Took him as my, I think, second round pick, and he killed my ratios. But I'll show you an example pretty soon where I just totally contradict myself in a recent mock. But let's get to this first. So you and I and several other Rotoballer analysts, we took part in a way too early and way too long, forever slow mock. Emphasis on the word slow. We did it old school style. This is manual because we started literally, I think it was December, I believe, right? Mid-December, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And I'm telling you, slow, we literally just wrapped up like last week, but we did it and here we go. And let's talk about the first round. So what you'll notice here, guys, is we talk about the very first starting pitcher taken was, there you go, the very end of the first round, and that was Bill. Bill seems to love him some, not only some Jake DeGrom, but also he likes that 12th spot, I think. So you got DeGrom, first of all, as your number one overall. Any qualms with him over Cole?
Yes, I'm not, I have, like I said, I have DeGrom in that top tier of three, but he's going to be my number three pick most of the time. I'm going to prefer Verlander and Cole by a little bit. It's splitting hairs. I mean, he won the Cy Young last year, but he wasn't quite as fantasy friendly last year. He earned $30 in change in 12 team leagues using the Fangraphs auction calculator. ATC is projecting him to earn almost $41 in 2020, which is closer to what he did in 2018. It's just, I will take him if the price is right. Like if I'm in that spot, if I'm picking 12 and Cole and Verlander have gone, then yeah, I might take DeGrom at number 12. But as the first pitcher off the board, no, I'm probably looking elsewhere.
And the main reason, is it just the volume of strikeouts, sheer volume, wins, or both?
Sheer volume of strikeouts, more importantly, the wins. Never trust anyone on the Mets. I don't care how good DeGrom is, the Mets can find a way to give him only four wins. It's possible.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted you to come out and say, I mean, basically that's the issue here, is that he's a Met. All right.
You can complain about wins all we want, but pretty much Mets horrible infield defense, and they're just going to, they're going to give away five wins for him. And
Yep.
with the teams that Cole, the Astros and Yankees, just that's a significant advantage, I think.
Yeah, and definitely the Astros is gonna definitely provide that run support with their uncanny knack to read opposing pitchers. But anyways, let's move on to
It's
then we
weird.
got Gerrit Cole. Yeah, it's crazy how they do that. It's like they know it's coming. So in this mock, you took your guy. You got Justin Verlander there in the second round. I mean, do you feel like that's the appropriate spot for him, where he's gonna go in most drafts, or do you feel like you kind of got a steal? Because you probably happen to have him land to you, right?
Yeah, I think at what is that, 14th overall? I think that's a pretty good steal. I think in most 12 team leagues, I think he'll be off the board usually by 14. But once again, splitting hairs, we're talking about a couple of picks. I most mocks I've been in, he's been going in that 12 to 14 range. So at 14, I was happy with Grom and Cole going. You, thankfully, I was worried that you would take Verlander and then I'd have to switch strategies and go no pitcher for a couple of rounds. But you left him for me. I got him. I don't expect the ridiculous numbers that we got last year, but I like a couple hundred innings and really great ratios and close to 300 strikeouts and a pile of wins because he plays for those Astros and their uncanny pitch recognition abilities.
Canny indeed, at least this year. So, I'm generally not a guy who goes starting pitcher early. So I'm trying some things out. This, of course, being a mock. So I went with my traditional, go offense and try to get some steals early, because it's kind of a rare, precious commodity these days too, besides the ace.
Agreed.
But moving on here, we see Scherzer, Bueller, Flaherty, Clevinger, Bieber. We have a grand total there. Let's say in the first four rounds, you're going to have those top 12 guys taken. So after that point, do you feel like there's much of a drop off? I guess, because talking about Strasburg, then guys with risk like Sale, a little bit of risk with Snell, perhaps Severino, of course, missed almost all last year. Kershaw, can't say there's not risk there. Do you feel like that puts more emphasis on getting one of those guys earlier? Do you feel like there's still a lot of potential, top five, top 10 guys that you could get later on, like in the fifth or sixth round?
For me, there's a couple clear lines of demarcation with my groups of pitchers, blobs within the blob. And you take those first three guys, and then you move into Scherzer, Walker Buehler, my man Jack Flaherty, just occupies obviously a very special place in my heart. And Mike Clevenger, Blake Snell, to a lesser extent, Shane Bieber, Steven Strasburg. These are all guys that I like. Clevenger, Snell, Flaherty grouping the most out of that group, but those are all guys I'm comfortable having as my SP1 if I don't get one of those first top three. And really, they're also ones that I'd like to get one of those first 7, 8, 9 pitchers that we're talking about. I'm usually going to end up with one of those guys. I'm not always going to go two of them out of, you know, in the first three rounds, get three pitchers, but I want to anchor with one, because after you get past those guys, then you mentioned Kershaw. A lot of risk with Kershaw. He may be one of the best pitcher of our generation, but he's just not as reliable as he used to be. Charlie Morton, who I really like again, but I'm not going, it's hard for me to believe that he's going to pitch 185 great innings again. And then I have Chris Sale down around there, obviously a lot of risk, and guys like Aaron Nola and Luis Castillo and Yu Darvish, all guys that I think, you know, best case scenario can return top eight value, but all guys that come with a lot of risk and too much risk for me that I want to make them the anchor of my staff. I'm just going to need something a little bit better to start off with.
Gotcha. And before we move on from this one, in two words or less, Aaron Nola, is he an ace?
Gah. Hope so. I'm actually trying to. In my league that I've been playing for the longest time, it's a points league. We just settled out the rule changes that we're making, so now all the trades are back on, and I'm going to acquire Aaron Nola. It's just a matter of what cost. I need about starting pitching. So I am really pushing I don't know if he's going to be an ace. He had a velocity increase last year, but then had some injury issues. I'm pushing that narrative a lot. I don't want to believe that narrative. I have him as my, you know, number 52 overall. And I think I'm maybe a little more bullish than, you know, NFC ADP is like 53 last month. So I guess I'm around with the crowd, but he has obviously a worse floor than that, but I think that he has a better chance than most of getting into that top seven, top eight tier, the Jack Flaherty's, Walker Buehler-ish of the world.
There you go. He's always just kind of right there, right? We don't know exactly where to place him. Like, is he up there? All right. So moving
very
on.
Mysterious.
What's that?
Oh, I said he's very mysterious.
Yes. Mysterious, intriguing, dare I say. Now we have another mock draft that we just kicked off with some of our newest rotoballers, guys you maybe heard of. I know Nikki just mentioned those ATC projections. So that, of course, done by Ariel Cohen, who now a member of Rotoballer as well and part of this draft. And we say guys like Casey Bubba, and of course, if you're not listening to Benched with Bubba, just do it. Mike Kurland, Bases Loaded Pod, SP Streamer, all sorts of great guys here. And some of the old standbys. I know they love when I call them old. So Nick Mariano, our top ranker, of course. Anthony Aniano, Mr. Radio, myself, JB, Mr. Dubs, all guys that you're very familiar with. And, of course, can't forget Riley, who joined us last year. Eric Simulski, another new guy. Great squad. Okay, so now let's talk about the results. Very different from our mock that we just talked about from December/January. So here we go. Ariel didn't waste any time. Pulled the trigger on Jake DeGrom at number 4 overall. And that kind of led to the thing is, hey, we all got to get our, you know, starting pitcher early. And then we got 3 starting pitchers taken in the first round. So talk to me quickly about DeGrom, number 4 overall. Do you hate it or do you really hate it?
I'm not going to say I hate it because he is obviously very smart. And if he's picking him at number 4, then yes, that's a well-laid trap, but I'm going to hop right over it. because if Errol Cohen's all right taking it at four, then he's got pretty good reasons. And, you know, you're looking at his projections and you can see those good reasons. I mentioned earlier, he's got him, you know, using the Fangraphs calculators, got him earning $40 and or almost 41 as his top pitcher. He stayed pretty true to brand about what he's saying his projections. He has DeGrom and then Cole and then Verlander. And four is a little aggressive for me, but I like me an ace. So if you want to get your guy and he's your number one guy, then yeah, sure, go get him.
So do you think that was born out of the concern since he had the fourth pick that by the time it gets back to him in the second round, he's not going to get one of those top three or four guys? I mean, do you think that was the mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking back over his projections here through the calculator, and he has some big tier drop-offs. DeGrom, Cole, Verlander, Scherzer are between $41 and $37 earned, and then Walker Buehler is next at $31, and Chris Sale, $28, and then all the next guys are $24 to $22, you know, those top 12 guys we were talking about. That is a large drop. You know, his number 12 pitcher is Charlie Morton, earning $20. That is half as much as Jake DeGrom. So picking where that's a really good point. Picking where he was picking at four, he wasn't going to get, you know, one of his top five guys on the way back. Just he wasn't going to get DeGrom, Cole, Verlander, Scherzer, maybe not Buehler or Flaherty the way this draft goes. And so
it's true. I mean, he would have been right.
This guy.
I mean, you see where Buehler went before he came back to him. Those top five guys were gone. Yeah. Buehler was taken. So, I mean, his strategy did work. It, you know, he wanted to secure that guy. So, again, it's a very, very smart baseball mind. And like I said, his value, he's saying you got to get your SP1 early, right? Strike fast. Mm-hmm. And if you have an early pick, I mean, don't wait, right? Now, coming back around, he took Anthony Rendon. Seems like a pretty solid batter to start off with. He didn't get another pitcher then until the fifth round, and that was Chris Paddock. So wind up pretty good, and then you see you got Paxton. We're through eight rounds so far. This draft has not wrapped up since we just started, but that's a pretty good 1-2-3, right? DeGrom, Paddock, and Paxton. So you're not too worried.
I like his start.
I mean, if Paddock, I know we talked about the, you know, innings limit. You know, he might be limited, of course. There's some worries there. But then that also packs in possible injury concerns there. But that feels pretty solid. You got that high floor with DeGrom, right? Especially if he's valuing that much higher than the other SP2s, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, looking at his first eight picks, he has, you know, his other two pitchers are James Paxton, obviously, a lot of risk on how many innings you're going to get from James Paxton. And the same concerns, but for different reasons with Paddock, because you don't exactly know how many innings the Padres are going to let him pitch. So there's risk there, but also, you know, two really good pitchers and pairing that with, you know, a guy that I think is very rock solid, and there's not going to be a lot of variation in what you get. And obviously Ariel has him rated very high. So working your staff that way with a guy you believe in the most, and then two guys that could both end up being that are both have top 15 starter upside for sure. Huh. But it won't happen with James Paxton because there's no way he stays healthy enough to do that. But, but it, you know, going pitcher like that, I really like his batters that he got. He got Rendon, followed that up with Starling Marte in the third round that I love. I love Starling Marte anywhere. And just, he got a lot of balance, a lot of speed, and you know, it's pretty good start to the mock draft.
Yeah, and that's what I like, because I mentioned me personally, and I did a thing where I had already done, I took Trey Turner in the first round, trying to secure that, and we'll talk about this when we do our episode on Rotoballer's new expected draft value, talk about cohorts, and I got a guy who kind of fits that batting average, plus speed, plus, I guess, to some extent, power, you know, helping me across the board, but mainly the speed, right? So we talk about the, you know, the lack of aces these days, the workhorse guys. Lack of stolen bases, it's a real thing. So I didn't go starting pitcher until the third round, so I'll just come out and say it. I took Chris Sale. All right, so we've already gone over this. Now, the reasoning for this is because I guess when I look at him versus Castillo, who is my next choice, or maybe Aaron Nola, who we kind of already talked about, I'm looking at the fact that obviously if he stays healthy, you know, I got a guy who could deliver top 10 value, right? Could be back to what he was. And we don't know what's going to happen with him. But, you know, coming off the previous season, right, they had that long playoff run. You know, he had some issues and the whatever you want to call the decision to just not basically do spring training. It all kind of conspired to have him, you know, with some elbow issues. So last year, obviously limited, and, you know, he's got a little bit more rest. I wonder if he might be actually more prepared to be healthy this year than last year. But do you think third round is just way too rich for that risk?
Keeping in mind what I said earlier, the way this draft went, I don't hate that pick. I probably would have, I mean, Nola dropped quite a bit. I would have liked Nola there. But like you said, the guy, what was he, the 11th pitcher you guys had off the board already at the end of the third round? Uh-huh. And with the next pitchers going, Luis Castillo, Patrick Corbin, Aaron Nola, Giolito, Paddock, Kershaw, Morton after that. Those are all guys that have their own bucket of risk that come with them, and none of them are sure things to me.
Exactly.
And in that scenario, I'll roll the dice with Chris Sale, because like you said, the upside is he just pitches an entire year and is a top five pitcher, and you got him at the end of the third round.
Right. And that was my thinking too. After you get past that point, like I said, Castillo is the one. I mean, he's still young. He's been solid. You know, probably would have been the safer pick there. But after that, there's kind of that drop off where there's risk everywhere. So what I did is I said, okay, I'm going to load up on offense early. Take my guy who could be that ace if he stays healthy. I mean, that's all he needs to do is just stay healthy. And then I kind of loaded up, as you see, on starting pitcher later. Took some quote-unquote safe picks with like Greinke and Soroka, and then I got Bauer too. And then I'm realizing I probably went way too pitcher heavy in that portion of the draft. But there's still some good options left in the field. So we'll see how it shakes out. And last thing I want to do is talk about some NFBC ADP. This is kind of our industry go-to standard. We talk about where guys are being taken. So let's look real quick here. No surprise to see Cole, the first pitcher off the board, followed by DeGrom, Verlander, Scherzer. Talk about those top four. On average, Cole is the fifth overall pick. DeGrom there, number eight. And then Verlander, Scherzer, 13, 17, about the second round. So you got two guys, typically a first-round pick, and then that kind of next tier. But what I want to point to is the variation here. We've seen Cole, again, not probably in a lot of drafts, but some people have taken Cole, number one overall. We've seen DeGrom go two overall. And down here, we were kind of laughing. Somebody said that Shane Bieber is worth the fourth overall pick. What's the mindset there? If you can try to explain that to me.
I'm not going to be able to explain that to you. The mindset is someone really wanted to take Shane Bieber at number four, and they're going to take him no matter what. I don't know why. Maybe it's his cousin. I have no idea. The chances of Shane Bieber returning value at number four, I think most people would agree, are very, very low. He's definitely in the conversation as a top 10 pitcher. He was last year. He's, you know, he's still only 24 years old, so it's hard for me to bet on just the exact same year again. But I think I have him as my number nine pitcher in the, you know, mid 30s ish. Yeah. Number 32. Number four, though. Why? How do you pull the trigger on number four? You're looking and you're like, you know what? Yes. Draft Shane Bieber.
Yeah. Not the number four pitcher, just number four overall. Now, dude, maybe that was the draft. I wonder, four. Was this all the same draft where like somebody took Cole one and then DeGrom went two and then said, like, oh, I need to get my pitcher. They're all going to go.
Yeah, just a brutal run of pitchers in the first five picks inexplicably.
There you go. Maybe that's the mystery, right? Just it was just the first round full of pitchers. So we don't recommend that, right? I'm going to guess we can go on limb and say that's not the strategy we're going to employ.
No, not generally. Anytime you have a chance to get at number four, a guy you can get, probably 25 picks later, probably should not go ahead and do that.
Agree, definitely agree there. You can see some of the variations there. He's gone as late, Bieber talking about as late as 43. You even seen guy like Scherzer, maybe probably because of injury concern, go as late as 26. Usually won't last that long, of course. But
Yeah.
you got to kind of read the draft and see how things are going. So generally, I would just say if you feel that good about your guy at the spot where you can get him, for Ariel, it was number four. For a lot of guys, it's at the turn, like yourself. Me, typically, I'm probably waiting till the second round unless I have a really, really early pick. But I'm not going to take a pitcher number one or two or three overall anyway. So I probably am not going to go pitcher in the first round this year, I don't think. But I don't want to wait too long either. So I'd say maybe the fourth round. I mean, I guess let's close with that. What's the latest? You think you can really go without taking your first starting pitcher?
What fourth? Yeah, I mean, there's guys in the four. Like I have, I myself have guys like Cast. I think I have Castillo, 57 overall, and Corbin and Darvish, and yeah, Nola. I have all those guys in the 50 to 65 range. I could handle one of those guys as my SP1 if I had to, if I was just had to take the bats I had to take. I can start off with that, cross my fingers that Yu Darvish stays healthy or Castillo continues to improve or Nola stops being so mysterious. Because there are a lot of guys after the first 100 picks that I like a lot. And I think I'm pretty good at, parsing through the pitchers and finding the ones later in the draft that'll help me a lot. But and if Yu Darvish is my number one, I'm feeling a little shaky ground. And same with Castillo, Nola, and those guys. It's just they can return SP1 value, absolutely. But being able to return something and going into a season banking on that are two different things.
Agreed there. I mean, if you're gonna wait, I honestly, I'll just say, just go with Aaron Nola. Just trust. Do like one of those trust falls where you close your eyes and then to fall backwards and just hope that he catches and embraces you and just wraps you up in SP1 warmth.
That's me, Aaron.
Yeah, catch me. All right. Well, that'll do it. Thanks for listening, guys. It's been our draft strategy, starting pitcher episode. Look out for more goodness from WPC Plus. That's us. And of course, if you haven't already, hit subscribe. We've got plenty of fantasy baseball content coming on this fine channel, not just from us, but plenty of our Rotoballer expert analysts. All right. Thanks for listening.